Path to Business, the podcast. We are your hosts, Luke and Bethany Barrett. We're a husband and wife team building a legacy with our three children that we're so damn proud of. Full-time wedding photographer and videographer operating a thriving six-figure business.
We share all our best strategies from the lessons that we've learned along the way.
Featuring other amazing businesses so you can genuinely get inspired.
This is your Path to Business.
We're fired up because today we're chatting all things second shooters, and this is a topic that I think is so cool to talk about because we have a lot of experience with second shooters and we really do know what makes a good one and what makes a bad one.
Yeah, because we've second shot for each other a lot, video or photo, but also a lot of our packages include second shooters, so we've had to outsource a lot of that. We've made some good relationships with some, we've had some bad second shooters.
Yeah.
We really love it because I think naturally we'd love to educate other people. We'd love to see them, you know, just grow as people, as professionals, as somebody who can take the positive that we have, but also we've been learning from second shooters as well. If there's something that they do differently from us, sometimes it's not even stuff that we learn on the day of, but when we review the photos or videos afterwards, we go, oh yeah, they did something really creative here. Yeah. And being creative is a huge part about being a second shooter because as a first, our job is to get a lot of the safe shots.
Yeah, I call it the boring shots. The shots that we just need to get. We have like a list running in our head of things that we absolutely must get. And a second shooter has some of that, right? Because we've guided them and we have a timeline meeting and they know what they're supposed to get.
During the key times during the day, like the ceremony or like at prep, there's some things that they have to get, especially if we're doing prep separate or during reception. But other than that, they're free to flow.
Let's just put this out there. Can we just stop with the second shooters that stand beside you all day? Like, we need second shooters to be capturing stuff that we don't see. I tell all of our second shooters, and maybe like we're the only ones who do this, probably not, but we don't want them standing beside us capturing the same thing, right? Like if they are standing beside us at any point in the day, they should have a different lens or a different focus, and they should be getting, like you said, those creative shots that are different. I tell my couple straight up, my second shooter is not somebody who's capturing the exact same thing as me all day.
Like, never.
I would never use their photo over mine. I'm always going to use mine. And why are we paying them to do it? Now, I get it. Sometimes, right, second shooter is there and they're building their portfolio, and there are parts of the day where they may need to be sort of beside you to help. But I mean, their job is not there to guide the couple or to do any of these things unless, you know, we ask them, right? Like if they have an idea or if they want to do certain poses or vibes or whatever, we can do that. But really what a second's job is to capture all the stuff that we don't see, that the couple doesn't see.
Yeah, either to be at a different location than us during different times of the day or to be just at a different angle, different focal length, getting foreground shots. As a first, you try to get creative. It's a risk doing it.
For years, we have been team second shooter. I mean, from the very beginning,
we knew the importance of it.
We always had second shooters. I would say it's changing, though, a little bit now. I feel like it's not that we don't love the second shooters and what they can do, but if couples are not sure whether or not they want to have a second shooter, or maybe it's just like in our case where it's been weddings where we're like, you know what, we really want to be at both preps together, right? You're shooting video, I'm shooting photo, and we want to capture both of them because we just do it differently. In our case, what we're seeing is that we're doing less second shooters, I would say, than we ever have in our business. I think it's okay. The thing is couples need to realize there are certain parts of the day where we're just not going to be able to be in those two places at once. And that's really the main thing, is having a second shooter, getting those different angles. And then I think on the video side, it's that setup time as well. Most of the time, It's funny, you will be setting up, but the second shooter is with me as I'm capturing the photos and they're getting like all of the shots, or vice versa. Sometimes it's the other way too, where our seconds will be the ones that are kind of taking down and setting up. How are you feeling about second shooters? Is it something that you're feeling like you want to continue to like keep pushing, or is it something where you're kind of on the fence about?
I think it depends on the requirements or the needs of the couple. Obviously, based on if you want both preps covered and they're not in the same hotel, you know, different rooms, then you may need to look at having a second shooter if you want that covered during the day. There's a lot of benefits to having a second shooter, and I think that's why we've included it. We just really believed second shooters were a big part in being able to provide a full experience, not only because at different parts of the day, like not only the prep thing, but during ceremony, they get a lot of reaction shots because we're getting some of the safe shots of the couples doing like their vows. And it's not saying that we can't get a variety of stuff, but there's so many different things happening at once that it's hard to be able to take a photo of grandma crying, the vows happening. Moments happen like that, and if you don't anticipate it, it's very, very hard to get a nice photo or a nice video of that moment happening.
Our job as the first is to capture the couple.
Yeah.
Right? So if the couple starts crying, of course I want to have that captured. But if grandma's crying and grandpa's crying and, you know, like mom and dad and everybody, like you're just like, you don't know where to go.
Yeah.
Right?
And if you try to do too many things at once, then none of them are going to be very well done.
Well, you might just miss something. And I think the biggest thing is walking down the aisle, right?
Yeah, like, I was just about to say.
Obviously, like I can't shoot both, right? Like I have to choose one or the other.
The groom reacting and the bride coming down.
So I obviously tell my couples, like if you're doing a one shooter route, it's not impossible.
You have to tweak it.
But we have to tweak it. So, I mean, I still tell all my couples to like take a pause at the top of the aisle. That's just a nice thing to do. It just like take a pause and I can get a couple photos. And then at that point I can turn around and capture the groom or, you know, the other bride who's standing at the top of the aisle and get their reaction. But if they start to wipe a tear when I've turned back around, I've missed it.
If you had a second shooter that was focusing solely on the groom as you were focusing on the bride, you don't miss a thing.
Exactly, because their job as a second shooter is to literally take as many photos as the person standing at the end of the aisle, and the other and my job is to essentially capture that person walking down the aisle, right? And that is our very important job, to get as many. And now sometimes literally there's no reaction, there's no nothing. And then I think on the video side, like what's nice is you can use tripods, right? Like you can have a tripod, but again, those aren't a fail safe, right? Because what if somebody steps in front of it? What if it goes out of focus?
Well, most people stand up when the bride's coming down the aisle. So that alone, unless you anticipate and can find a really good angle, which is almost impossible to have, unless you're going to be blocking people with your tripod, you have to rely on somebody that's a little bit more mobile to get those shots.
A second shooter is there to ultimately capture all of the things that we just can't, right? And that is essentially why it's so important to have one. However, I do see the value in being one shooter. It definitely makes my job a little bit easier at the end of the day because I only have to go through my photos and I know what I took. And so there's some benefits on that side. And then I can be responsible for everything and making sure that I got all the shots. I'm not kind of hoping that they got them. You know, I know what I got and what I didn't. Also, we've just been really lucky. We've worked with second shooters for years and years now. And so they really have a good understanding about what we expect. I think where we run into problems is really when we have new people that come on. And now sometimes we have a new person come on and they blow our socks off in the sense of they're just so energetic, they're so creative, they bring so much value to the day. And those are the second shooters where we're just like, oh my gosh, that's so worth it to have somebody there.
We do go out of our way to review the photos or videos with our second shooters after a wedding to have kind of a post-mortem meeting, discuss what they did, how they can improve, what we like about their shots, because you do have to give them some kind of encouragement.
Yeah.
But they are somebody that we paid to do a job, and we do have certain expectations, not only for ourselves, but because we promise the couple certain expectations as well. It's really important that they understand where we're coming from, being able to take criticism when it comes down to they're shooting something that we're not covering at all. There's just certain guidelines that we like to have them follow. And when those fall short, it can create a real problem for the entire gallery because it will just look so different compared to what we normally provide.
We've been lucky, I would say, just from experience. And I think in the case where we don't have people that we've worked with and trust for the day, it just adds a new layer of stress on a day that we don't really need it. So
yeah, we don't need to manage or micromanage somebody on a day. Like, we don't like being micromanaged by our clients, and we certainly don't like to have to review someone's photos midday because we don't know if they even did it the right way.
And we don't really know until we get home and see everything that they've done too, right? So that's probably the hardest part, is it's like, damn it, like, they missed this thing. They didn't get this thing that we, like, specifically told them that we really wanted to have, and it's written down, and we did a timeline preparation meeting with them. They just didn't get that, like, really important moment, and they didn't even tell us that they didn't get it for the whole 8 hours that we were there. So now we have no opportunity of going back to do it, right? And that's where it's like, wow, you know?
On the flip side, we've had second shooters that have just, like you said, blown us away in their creativity, in the way that they shot stuff, in the way that they commanded the room. Or you hear feedback and from the couple saying the second shooter had spent the whole morning with the groomsmen, for example, or one of the groups of the wedding party, and they just told you how much they loved them and how much, like, fun they had and the energy. And it was a good mix of being social but also be commanding and having that authority. Then you know the day is just going to flow so well because the vibe is there, and people respect that.
We love them and we hate them, you know? Like, it's
it is a love-hate relationship. I think if you can have some solid seconds that have worked with you for a long time that really listen to what you say, that's a huge one. Being teachable is a huge factor in second shooters because everyone's style is so different. Even everyone's gear is so different. And we obviously prefer to have somebody that has their own gear is also a huge plus to being a second shooter when you don't have to send some of your gear or, like, lend them your gear. Most of the time, you don't have just, like, spare cameras sitting around.
Well, we do.
Only because we've had to, and that's why we've invested in additional cameras and lenses. But it is really nice when somebody has their own gear. They're familiar with it. They don't have any questions about it. Their own vehicle, obviously, is, like, a huge bonus when we don't have to pick them up.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that would make a second shooter really good. One of the things that I really value is them showing up early. I feel like when they show up exactly at 1 o'clock, because that's when they're supposed to start taking photos, it's not professional. Like, I think you should be showing up 5-10 minutes early, even if you just, like, have a snack in your car or whatever. But, you know, if they have to get memory cards from us, right?
Yeah.
Like, for us, that's, like, a big thing. Like, you shouldn't be doing that at 1 o'clock, you know? Like, if you're supposed to start at 1, like, really, you should be there 15 minutes early, because if you need to get a memory card or you need to, you know, connect with us or whatever, like,
you don't clock in at 1 o'clock. It's you're ready to shoot. So you've, like, formatted your camera, you've synced your time with each other.
Yeah.
You have your lens on there and you're at the right location, ready to direct and take photos.
Yeah. And you've already like introduced yourself to everyone, right? Like, I think that's important too, is like you go in and you introduce yourself to everyone, get a feel of the space. Maybe like the place you walk into and it's just a disaster, right? So being there 15 minutes early allows you to say, okay, guys, we need to really clean up this space. You know, you really need to get dressed if you're not dressed yet, right? Like, some of these things that would just make it easier so that they don't run into problems later. So to me, like, a second shooter who shows up a few minutes early, I think, is really valuable. Another thing as well that I find is really great for a second shooter is somebody who checks in with me and says, yeah, I got this, or yes, I got that,
or no, I didn't get that. I didn't have enough time to finish all the groomsmen shots or the bridal party shots I was supposed to take.
Or the location that they did them, like, say it was at somebody's house and it's just, like, not a great location, the sun wasn't great, or it's like the siding of a fence or something like that. Like, it's just about having that conversation. Sometimes they just get put into a scenario where it's just, or the house was, like, super messy. We've run into that where it's like almost like a hoarder's house, essentially, right? And so they just really didn't have any control over that. And so it's just good for them to be able to sort of communicate that and be like, hey, you know, you might want to redo these.
There's no shame in that, in admitting that this scenario or the situation you were put in is unfavorable.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you're getting yourself into, especially if you're doing it at someone's house or even a hotel room sometimes. It's really difficult to find something. Oh, they want a group shot and there's 10 of them. Yeah. And you're like, oh, it's raining outside.
But there's 3 feet of space inside the window.
Exactly. Right? And sometimes they're just in a situation where they don't have a wide enough lens. Maybe, they don't have 3 feet, but like if they had a 16 mil, maybe, but we don't require that of all our second shooters to have every single lens that is possibly out there in order to just have that good communication. And it's not that we're going to give them a hard time because they didn't get a certain thing.
No, it's the opposite.
It's like, thank you for telling me because now I can get a good one. You don't want to get home, look at the photos and be like,
this is terrible.
Why did they do it this way?
Why is there garbage bags laying on the bed beside
or
them?
A Kleenex box in the background. There's a ton of different things that we train our second shooters to shoot like us because we are super particular about certain things. Yeah. And that's from experience of getting together. I'm just thinking in my head now that our second shooters sometimes bring headsets. and they're super useful. Obviously, you look like a tool or like a McDonald's drive-thru person.
Yeah. That's literally what happened to me. As soon as I put it on, they're like, welcome to McDonald's. And I was like, oh my gosh.
But they're super useful. I think if you're at a venue where you're splitting up with a second shooter, having a walkie-talkie, having a headset of communication so that you can talk to each other and not have to go back and forth, especially if there's a good amount of walking between where you are taking photos and where the reception is happening. That if anyone has a second shooter and has never tried it, I would implore that they at least try it out, on a trial basis to see how it can really help. I find that it's super useful for video side because there is a lot of times where you're split up, doing a lot of setup time. Especially like where do you want the lights? Where do you want the tripods? Yeah. Where am I pointing them at? We can discuss timelines and schedules, and also just having a second shooter that can think on the fly, like on themselves, right? Sometimes I need them to take over for me and then I need to go and set up or just review the final setup before something happens.
A big one for us as well is dressing professionally. We've always been the type of people that I feel like we've always tried to dress nice. We've kind of flip-flopped between, styles of what we wear and what we don't wear. Last year, I found myself being drawn to wearing stuff that was a little bit more comfortable, like wearing dresses and things like that, because to be honest with you, I kind of get sick of wearing black all the time. So for second shooters, I think dressing appropriately as well.
What would you consider inappropriate dressing?
I mean, to me, running shoes is definitely a no, right? Like wearing running shoes, I get that you're on your feet and whatever, but investing in a good pair of shoes, like they can kind of look like have a running shoe look, but they should also be like a professional look as well, right? It shouldn't be like a big Nike sign on it. Clothing as well that's appropriate. Like I've been caught a few times where I didn't wear something appropriate for a church and I've had like the priest come up to me, but it was like a 40 degree day and I'm wearing like, something that kind of exposes my shoulder. So just being mindful of if you're going to you're going to a church, like wear something that, I know it's hot, but wear something that's appropriate for that so that we're just not running into any of those weird issues where, the priest is coming up to you and asking you to cover yourself. I know I've been caught myself being in that situation. So it's something that I relay to second shooters. And then another thing too is like doing your hair and wearing some makeup if you're a woman. Like I think that, you shouldn't show up like you just rolled out of bed, right? Like this is a wedding day. I think it's important. I get that everybody has issues and things that they have to deal with, but I think it's important to kind of bring your best self forward. And I always do my hair. I always do my makeup. I always try to dress in a way that's as professional as I possibly can, because at the end of the day, people are going to remember you and people are looking at you all day.
All day. Yeah.
Right? Like during the ceremony, they're watching you walk around, right? Like they might be listening to the couple, but at the same time, they're looking at you. You're walking around during dinner and speeches and stuff, they're looking at you.
I think when in doubt, just ask the lead photographer the vibe of the wedding, because there's definitely some weddings we've been to where they're kind of like backyard, it's more country, everyone's wearing jeans. We still wear professional, but when you contrast that versus, a black tie, like full suits, and then we try to match that vibe as well, because we don't want to be the ones that are underdressed in something like that. Yeah. But we also don't want to be the ones that are wearing a long sleeve shirt when it's 40 degrees outside. So there's that happy medium. And if whenever you're in doubt, reach to like the first shooter, whoever's going to know more about the wedding vibe itself, and and get that from them. I think the safest thing is like a kind of like a dressy pants and a collared shirt.
At a minimum.
That's usually what I wear, like especially in the summer when it's going to be very hot. Never wear shorts. Never wear flip-flops or Crocs. You just got to suck it up. It's just part of the job. You're going to be sweaty. Maybe bring a change of clothes. I think that's at the minimum what everyone should do is bring a spare set of clothing anyway. But yeah, it's just it, when in doubt, just rely on the first shooter or ask. You know, ask the couple or ask, well, not as a second shooter, but ask whoever is going to be the lead.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like I said, I'm happy to wear like a dress. So if my second shooter is a girl or a guy and they want to wear a dress, then absolutely, right? Like, but it needs to be professional. It doesn't need, like, you shouldn't have massive cleavage, you know? Like, it should be in a way that's like respectable, right? And to me, that's
or like tiny little straps.
Yeah, I think like it's okay. But again, you don't want to have like your bra showing too much as well, right? So if you do have tiny straps, but then like all you see is like your bra completely like outside of the dress, like to me, that's not professional. So I wouldn't choose something like that. I would choose something where my bra is covered. We've loved it when our second shooters have been like able to get us, sometimes it's like literally go get us water. Knowing where our stuff is, I think that that is really important. Having an idea of how to put everything together, flashes need to be set up, how the lights need to be set up. I think like a really good second shooter feels confident in knowing how to do all of those things and can really take over for you. Like the other thing we didn't talk about that's important about a second shooter is we've run into this issue where, you know, our daughter was really sick one day, all right, and I had to leave. If we didn't have a second shooter, I wouldn't have been able to leave to go see our daughter in the hospital.
I mean, I would have still been able to do it, but...
But you know what
I mean?
To
shoot photo and video about myself would have been...
No, yeah, you can't,
yeah,
right?
True,
so
true.
What people don't realize is that is the insurance as well, right, for the day. If something happens, at least there's two of us there.
Yeah, I think another thing that second shooters should bring to the table is a list of maybe some creative shots that they want to do that day. There's nothing that impresses me more than when we're doing couples portraits, and maybe this is something that you may want to talk with your first photographer to see, hey, am I... Like, are you comfortable that I come in and give some direction? Because you also don't want to undermine the first photographer and start to take over by giving direction, because maybe the couple has rapport with the first photographer and they just, they don't really trust what you're going to say because they haven't met you other than on the day of. So clearing that with the first photographer, but I love it when they come to the table with a few of their own ideas. It doesn't have to be very much, like five poses.
If you're interested in becoming a second shooter or you're looking to hire a second shooter, these are some of our best tips, and we hope that you found them useful. I'm sure you can relate to some of these, but a second shooter is not only a great asset for you, but it is also something that I think is important for everybody to be able to go through and learn how a wedding unfolds, right? Like that's one of the things that I did when I first started is I started second shooting so that I could understand how the wedding world works. And there's nothing better than by diving straight into it head first. If you have any questions about second shooting or you have some additional comments that you'd like to make, let us know, because I think that we'd love to discuss this more, because I'm sure there's lots of stories out there or things that have happened to you. And yeah, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.